Kelly Higgins Devine on ABC Radio Brisbane and Queensland.
14 to 2. Have you ever noticed certain cities and towns have their own distinct smells? If you've driven around the suburb of Milton here in Brisbane, chances are you've smelt the strong aroma from the Forex Brewery. Venturing south of Brisbane around Moorooka, it may be the smell of wheat coming from the sanitarium factory that fills the air. Whatever smell it may be, it's interesting to ask ourselves, is breathing in these certain odours actually bad for our health? And what kind of effects are these industrially produced smells having on the environment? Andrew Bolsch is the Deputy Chair of the Odour Special Interest Group at Clean Air Society of Australia and New Zealand. Andrew, hello.
Hi, Kelly. How are you?
Good. How did you get into odours?
Yeah, that was an interesting one. I just fell into it, really. It was very interesting. I started off as an odour assessor and just started learning the technology, studied atmospheric science and air dispersion. And got into managing odour laboratories,
yeah,
or olfactometry as it's known. And it just grew from there, grew into air dispersion modelling and modelling of odours, yeah, and measuring.
Do you have a good sense of smell?
I do, actually. When I started, I seemed to be fairly sensitive, and I had to kind of relax and just sit within the range. I have a fairly good sense of smell. Yeah.
Yeah. And I suppose having worked in the industry that you're in, you can pick smells. I would imagine you're pretty good at picking smells as well.
It's interesting that when you know the source that you're looking for, so you're out in the environment and you're trying to trace a plume, or you know you're working for a certain industry and you've familiarised yourself, I'm good at it. But I know that when we did odour testing in the laboratory and we take samples and then we bring it back to the panel of people who assess them, we try to characterise them. It's not an important part of the stamp, but we try to characterise them. So we go around the panels, like, okay, we present it to them and we work out the concentration. We say, what do you think it smells like? And it's amazing the things that come back. People's history, they go back to go, oh, yeah, I used to
childhood
go to Auntie so-and-so's and she used to do this thing, cooking, or it was something in her garden that smelled like this. And it's incredible the way people describe the smells. Yeah.
Yeah, and how they're attached to memory.
Yes.
What are some of the common sources of odours that cause complaints?
It's often to do with decomposition of things like waste products and things. That's a common one. I mean, there's many different types of odours, manufacturing odours. It might be in some sort of metals refining or food processing. But a lot of the problem odours we find are to do with decomposition of any product, whether it be wastewater and waste or landfills, waste management, composting, things like at poultry. We eat a lot of chicken and poultry farms, and just the poultry litter, the matter, and these types of things. And sometimes they're near other businesses and other residences, and you often find those types of odours, yeah.
Are there any adverse health effects to being exposed to intense odours?
The thing about the nose is really it's not been evolved to be a smell the roses type device. It's a warning device, and we smell things at really, really low, quite acute levels, and they're usually the odour thresholds in the air quality guidelines. Sometimes they're air quality based on health, and often they're odour related, and they're much lower than the health related guidelines. Mm-hmm. We smell detect things as a warning device to move away for something, or you smell things, oh, that's off food, etc. We've evolved to be able to detect that sort of thing well before it's affecting our health. But then again, there are, when people sometimes are being exposed to odours, nuisance odours over a long period of time, it can start playing on the sort of psychosomatic sort of, they start getting upset about these odours and stressed. So.
Yeah. So I suppose some smells might make you want to throw up, like if they're disgusting enough.
If they're strong enough, yeah.
But they'd have to be pretty strong?
Yeah, absolutely. I've been to some plants and stuff that I've felt like that. And within the plant boundary, within a building or something where the process is. But once they're dispersed in the wind, I don't usually find odours above. We rank it on a scale sometimes when we're out in the environment. There's a scale, a sort of weak to moderate to strong, very strong. And it goes up to extremely strong. But rarely do I get more than strong odours once you're beyond the boundary. And it's still, they could be annoying, but you'd have to go inside right to the source to be,
yeah,
to be what really you're describing, throwing up, yes.
Yeah. What about constant smell, even if it's nice? For example, my parents live nearby a bakery, like a industrial-sized bakery. Yes, they're constantly getting that baking bread smell, which, yes, you know, when I visit, that's quite nice.
Yes.
But I'm not sure how I'd go sort of with it regularly. Is there a detriment to people's health if there is a regular powerful smell, no matter how nice it might be, coming through their home?
Well, of course, the smell of baking bread is really, you know, some businesses have that going wafting through their businesses, and the restaurants that sort of cook garlic and walk through the restaurant with garlic before the restaurant opens, just to get that odour and make you want to smell that. So bread's a good one. But if you smell bread long enough and often enough and every day, you'd probably be a little bit annoyed. But different people smell things in different ways and have different perceptions of it and different, just they can smell at different levels. Some people are really sensitive to it. Some people, they shut their nose off to it. Certain odorants, you smell very for a short period of time and then your nose shuts down to them. Hydrogen sulfide, rotten egg gas, that's from wastewater, that's a typical one where when you get too much of that at a quickly, it's unpleasant, but your nose basically shuts down to it, and so you'd stop smelling it after a while. And often we go to industries and you talk to the workers there and they say they don't smell things anymore because they spend 8-10 hour shifts in these things, in these places all the time, in these smells, and they just, I don't know what the people are complaining about, I don't smell it, and they're always the worst person to ask.
With me this afternoon, Andrew Bolsch. Andrew is Deputy Chair of the Odour Special Interest Group at Clean Air Society of Australia and New Zealand. So are these odours actually polluting our air, Andrew?
They are. They can be, depending on what the pollutant are, but some of them can live for longer in the atmosphere. But a lot of the odours, they can hang around for minutes to hours, depending on the meteorology, how they're blown away. So they don't tend to be a persistent thing. You don't smell the same odour. It is emitted and then you smell it for days later. It's always constantly being added to the airshed. And they can build up under certain meteorology, but then they're flushed away. So they're probably a little bit different to some of your other guests talking about ozone and various things. They're a little bit different to those types of pollutants.
Are emitters of odours, industrially, for example, required to mitigate what escapes from their premises?
Yes, sure. So they have environmental protection licences. They have obligations to meet and to not cause odour nuisance to a degree. Odour is an interesting one, how it's assessed, and there's been a lot of discussion at the conference about this. There's a lot of factors that go into what is nuisance, and defining nuisance is quite difficult.
Yeah.
And it comes down to how often you smell, so the frequency of an event when you smell it. The wind maybe doesn't blow from the source towards your house or something all the time, so it's how often that it blows. It's the duration of time it's there. So if you get a fleeting few seconds of it, is that enough to cause nuisance?
Yeah.
Maybe if it's a duration, it's hanging around all afternoon for 3 hours, you get a bit tired of it. And if it happens a lot of times, if you're in downwind of the prevailing wind, maybe you cop it quite a bit. And then it's the strength. And then it's also how offensive it is, and also the location of where you are. If you're in a rural environment and they're rural type odours, then what's the expectation of being of the odours?
Yeah.
Of your environment if you're in a rural atmosphere. And then, but a rural type industry in Queen Street Mall, like the people there in that location, aren't going to like that sort of odour. So it's there's a lot of factors.
Where can we complain about odours? Like, where do we go to if we want to complain about, you know, there's a smell in my suburb, I don't know what it is, it's new and it stinks, where do you go?
Yeah, so it's interesting. So I often have heard over the years that 2 out of 3 complaints made to the environmental regulators, the EPA or the EHP up here, are regarding odour complaints. So all the different things people complain about, noise, dust, waste, illegal dumping, all these types of things, about 2 out of 3 are odour. And so it's often the complaints can be made to the local environmental regulator, the EPA or the EHP up here, or the council, your local council, or directly to the source. If you think it's a certain this factory, if it's they're the only ones there, then you can complain to them, and they usually have a complaints log, or should under their license, they often have a complaints log if they take it on board and rectify.
Andrew, what sort of research is being done into odour? How it affects people, for example?
How it affects people? It's probably not my specialty area on that sort of side, but there's a lot of research into sampling techniques and measurements and how we actually measure odour and how we actually assess it.
How do you take a sample of a smell?
Well, so we'll take a basically a bag of air from if the emission is going out like a tall chimney stack or something at a plant, or it's coming out off a wastewater pond. We put a chamber down on the surface and we flush air through it at a certain known rate, and then we can take a sample off it. We know the rate that it's emitted. Same when we're going through the stack. We know the amount of air going through the stack and the amount of the concentration of the odour. We take a sample into a bag. And then we test it by actually using human assessors. So the nose is the best device. There's a number of other types of sensors that have been developed over the years, electronic noses and things like that. But really it's humans that are affected, so it's humans that do the testing. And what we're looking to do is we measure the concentration of odour in as dilutions to threshold. So if we dilute it down until everyone can – just at that point where they can smell it, and then we look at, oh, that was 1,000 times to one we diluted it, so therefore that's 1,000 odour units. So that we measure it as odour units. And then we use computer dispersion models with meteorology to work out where it goes over a year. We look at every hour by hour if it's dispersed in this direction and what concentration it would be at a receptor.
What's the worst thing you've ever smelled?
Worst offensive or the strongest odour?
Oh, let's go both. I've got a minute.
I think the strongest the strongest one I've ever smelled is a particular source at an alumina refinery. The one I least like is maybe rendering at abattoir rendering plant.
Yeah.
Possibly there's been a wastewater is not so good but I think the one that sticks out on me the most was when I first got some rendering at a plant that we needed to fix up a bit. So
baptism of fire.
I went home that day and my dog came up to me and said, "Oh my god, what have you been doing? Where have you been? I ran away from me."
When the dog run away from you know there's
right.
trouble.
Yeah.
Fantastic. Well, Andrew Bolsch, it's been great talking with you. Thank you for coming in.
Thank you.
Andrew Bolsch, Deputy Chair of the Odour Special Interest Group at Clean Air Society of Australia and New Zealand.